Blog Talk Radio.
Calling Paris. Come in, London. Come in, New York. Hello, Rio. The bad news is the world is ending. The good news is there's a party, but you better get here quick.
You feel like a written-off actor on Deadwood, about to get fed to the pig. When that preacher's bus from hell blasting just cowbell parked itself in front of your gig. There's a place you can go called the Tierra del Fuego, down in the southern hemisphere. It's kind of Troy without Helen past the Straits of Magellan. And things are always looking up down here. Cause there's a party at the end of the world,
end of the world,
where the locals do the tango twirl. Forget the temples and Nepal, cancel the Fed in Montreal. There's a party at the end of the world.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the end of the world.
Yo, name radio on a Friday night.
You're
taking it to the
rap,
purgatory, wherever you're going
tomorrow.
We're getting ready. My partner Eddie is with me. Eddie, good evening.
How are you tonight? On the eve of destruction, for us remaining on this earth, for the next 6 months, we will be filled with earthquakes before we are taken to another realm. And if you believe that, there's some on the playoff tickets I can sell you for next year.
And if you believe that, Glenn Sather was just named Executive of the Year.
That's right. And
little Jimmy Buffett party at the end of the world to get us started here. Because I was sick of that REM song. I've heard it about 20 times in the last couple of days already. So needed something different.
Yeah, hey. You know,
I know you're not a Jimmy Buffett fan, but I thought it was appropriate anyway.
No, I definitely like the beginning of the, what you call it? The beginning of it was good. I liked it. It wasn't a bad song. Yeah, it seems like they're bringing it up in the chat room. It seems like every time we do a show, my friend, Jim, somebody dies.
Yeah, this is a real black cloud. There's no way. You know what? You know what it is? You know what it is? You know how, remember in Forrest Gump when he buys the boat and the black guy tells him it's bad luck to have a boat without a name? Maybe it's bad luck because the show doesn't have a name.
That's true. We may have to name it.
Macho Man Radio.
Macho Man Radio. Or it could be, well, every time we do a show, an angel gets his wings, but maybe it's the opposite. Someone, Grim Reaper comes knocking.
Every time we do a show, an angel gets his wings. We could call it It's a Wonderful Radio Show.
But I'm saying, instead, it's the Grim Reaper comes a knocking.
Yeah, or what was the name of the town in It's a Wonderful Life? Beaver Falls? Was it Beaver or Old Man Potter Radio?
I'll get you, George Bailey.
Yeah. what's the guy's name who plays Old Man Potter? I can't think of his I'm drawing a blank. Is it Douglas Fairbanks?
No.
Why am I drawing a blank?
He played somebody will come up with it in the chat.
Yeah, somebody. Where's Mandar when we need him? Bedford Falls. Bedford Falls. That's right. Now we just need Old Man Potter's name. It's. I can't think of it. It's right in the back of my head. But somebody will have it, Cheryl. Yeah, Murray
Street. No, he was heavy.
Lionel Barrymore.
Lionel
that's
Barrymore.
Who it was.
That's right.
Lionel Barrymore. Thank you. Thank you, Howie.
Thank you, guys.
So, yeah, we got to come up with a name for this show because maybe it's just bad luck for us to have a show without a name and we'll come up with something. We already got a great crowd here. This is this is a bigger chat room than some other shows get. I'll tell you that much. I've seen the chat rooms for some of these other shows that are out there. So we appreciate you guys spending your Friday night with us and cruising into purgatory or heaven or hell or wherever it is you're going.
Well, first of all, on a semi-serious note,
Who's dead?
Well, it's funny. They're talking about this rapture coming. And you know what? A lot of people are scared, man. Not anybody I know, because they're all sane. But, like, people, just the thought of this is happening gets people a little bit off kilter.
Mob mentality. And
yeah, and it's this fear, this fear-mongering by this dope, this Howard Camping, who I am actually familiar with because I used to have the Dish Network and I used to, you know, cruise the channels late at night and he would be on. And, I, you know, I'm always curious to see, you know, the messages being put out there. And he, this guy was like, oh, my God. He was like the most joyless man ever put on this earth. He was like, you know, we're all God. We're insects compared to God. We should be groveling to him every day. And what cracks me up about the whole thing is he wrote a book about the end of the world coming in 1994. Now, we all know what that means. Some
Ozark, it would have been June 12th.
Right. So this guy is just getting, I mean, you know, it's become a pop culture, you know, I'm sure people are throwing parties at 6 o'clock tomorrow. This Howard Camping cutter, he's does this thing called Family Radio. He comes on and he's just, there's no joy in this man's life. And he's like, you know, he's like Methuselah's age. So it's a joke. It's actually a joke.
Cutter, we know it ain't gonna, we're not taking this seriously. I mean, do you really think if we were taking this really seriously, if we really thought this was our last night on Earth, do you really think we'd be on Blog Talk Radio talking about it?
Yeah, Cutter, I wouldn't be spending my last night on Earth with you. I got news.
Yeah, I mean, we're taking it as an opportunity to mock it, like we do just about everything. That's why we're here. So yeah, we're gonna have some fun tonight. We'll talk about heaven. And I'm curious to see what now. As far as my religious beliefs, I'm not a religious person, but I always, when I think of heaven and hell, I think if there is such a thing, which I don't believe there is, but if there is, I have always believed that heaven will be, that each person will have their own personal heaven and their own personal hell. And we were actually talking about this at work today, and one of the guys I work with, who is a diehard Packers fan, you know, we were joking around how, you know, if the world ends this weekend, as he's leaving, he's a big Packers fan. He says, "Well, if you see me in hell, I'll be in the Packers bar." I said, "No, but don't you understand? If there's a hell, it'll be a Bears bar." I said, "And if there's a hell for me, it'll be a Dallas Cowboys bar." So what would be? So I'm curious to hear, like, just any of you, if you want to call in, if there was a hell, what would be your personal hell? Be it you have to watch The View all day long. Or, you know, I'm curious. You know, there's no beer in your hell. There's no pot in your hell. There's no heroin in your hell. I'm curious. If you call it, I want to know what your personal hell would be. So I'd like
a bunch of garbage.
Exactly. Like, that would be my that would be terrible. That would be my personal hell, is I'd have to listen to the Instigators all day long and be in that chat room with somebody to talk to all day. It was I'm sorry. Friday night, I've had a few, and the world's ended tomorrow. Who gives a shit what I'm saying? I got Eddie going.
I did that to prod you.
Look at this. That's fine. I love it. Look at this chat room. I can't believe how many of you guys are here. We love it. We'll get to your phone calls in just a second. 646-478-4692. Same phone number as Blue Shirt Banner Radio, which will return. I don't know, one night next week, we'll let you know, because there's a lot going on with the Rangers. But tonight's not about hockey. Tonight's about going to hell or heaven, and the world is ending, and it's our last night on Earth together, so why not be together on internet radio? You know, we never got, because our show was, I don't want to say hijacked, but we got we got sidetracked last week for obvious reasons. You never got around to most of the things you wanted to talk about last week. And you had started, since I just mentioned it, you had started on a rant on The View. And that was when we got blindsided. Do you want to pick that up where you left off? Do you want to start that over again?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, people say, oh, Mouth, why do you watch this stuff? And I watch it because, you know, supposedly, like, you know, Dopra and The View are, like, where women, like, professional women are getting their ideas from. And, you know, the women's empowerment, you know, they always preach this, especially on The View. And you really couldn't have, I mean, Whoopi is a comedian. She doesn't, she kind of watches the other guys, other women on the show. But the other three or four dolts on there are the dopiest women that you could put together in a little, you know, hen clucking session. Barbara Walters needs to retire immediately. She can't speak. I don't know how this woman became an icon. I mean, you know, we all remember the Gilda Radner, Baba Wawa thing. She's so, everything is so antiquated about that woman, and that Sherry Shepherd thinks that people, they are their roles. Like, she can't distinguish between an actor and his role. Like, what were you thinking about when you broke up with Amanda? And he's like, no, I'm an actor, you know, and she's got to explain that. And then Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Now, I want the guys in the chat room, even the ladies, do you think she's an attractive woman? Because she is married to Tim Hasselbeck, the other guy, not Matt, Tim.
Right.
And she's okay, but they never really let her speak, which is good. And that Joy Behar.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think there's a reason why
I can't stand her. And you know what? She acts like a real, like, a Jewess, but she's Italian, which I don't get. And she's just really...
She's a Jew-gene.
Just a man-bashing machine, and she's not funny. You're not funny, honey. Guys... How many female comedians do you guys actually think are funny anyway? Very few. I don't get them.
The only ones that I find really funny that are the ones that weren't so much a stand-up comedy, but they're considered comedians. You know, I mean, like I know you don't share this, but I thought Lucille Ball was very funny, and I thought Carol Burnett was funny. I thought Roseanne was funny, but when they were on their shows, Roseanne's stand up comedy I saw a few times when she was on Johnny Carson, stuff like that. I didn't find her terribly funny then because it's mostly just man bashing, you know, which I always thought was funny. You know, that gets us off on another topic, but I always thought it was funny how Roseanne could stand up there and do her comedy act bashing men. And she's hysterical. She's a pioneer. And Andrew Dice Clay did the same thing talking about women. And he was a disgusting, filthy pig who must be stopped.
Right. He's a misogynist. We've got to get him off. Well, you know, that's something that I know we got some phone calls, but I just want to say that's another thing. You know, we guys, you know, listen, every sitcom in the last 25 years has been based on a dumb guy and how he messes up, and then the women got, you know, the wife has to kind of bear with him, and you know, he's got to finally come at the end of the show and realize he did a stupid thing. It's the old honeymoon is the thing, kind of, but not nearly as funny, or not, you know.
Right. And honeymoon, it was always done with heart. You know,
yeah,
they
reconciled
still love and respect
it with love, like, and, you know.
Yeah, like that Married with Children. I couldn't sit through an episode of that show if you paid me. And that show was on for like 12 years. I thought that was one of the worst shows because all it did was make Al Bundy out to be a complete jackass week after week after week. And I always thought if they ever made a show like this where the roles were reversed, it wouldn't last 3 weeks before every woman's league in the world would run it off TV.
How many times have you seen a show with a dumbass woman and the husband's like, "Well, you know, it's very few. I can't even think of one." I know. So
Dig D mentioned Sarah Silverman, who is funny.
Yes.
I forgot about Sarah. Sarah Silverman's funny. Tina Fey is funny. And Kristen Wiig is funny. But they're not, except for Sarah Silverman, is the only one of those that's what you would call a stand-up comedian.
Right.
As far as stand-up comedians go, like that Margaret Cho, she's not funny.
No.
Margaret Cho, funny. She's never been
Unless
funny.
You're
I don't gay, care.
You're not
straight.
Getting
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. You know, I don't care how many tattoos she has. She's not funny. So.
You know who's funny?
Don't look now. But there's one man too many in this room, and I think it's you.
That's funny.
Last night I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got there, I'll never know.
So anyway, going through the whole View thing, I was more livid about it. It's kind of past my. But I'm gonna start to. Now they got Elisa Lampanelli. Her last comedy special sucked, but I've seen her where she's been pretty good at times.
She's funny on roasts, and she's funny when she's on Howard. But you know, even on Howard, it gets old because it's the same. She's a little too extreme for my taste. You know, I don't want to sound old fashioned, but you know, I don't want to hear the word cock and I don't want to hear the C word and you know all of that coming out of a woman's mouth every other minute, you know.
Right.
And she talks about how much she loves black guys and how much she loves their dicks and the blah. I'm like, okay, be funny. Now be funny.
It's true because you think about how many cerebral female. I'm talking like a George Carlin. Where a guy will, you know, he can dissect any premise, you know, or concept and break it down and make it funny. I haven't ever seen a woman do that. They talk about the great comedians of all time. What are we looking at? We're looking at Joan Rivers, right?
I don't think she's yet to say something I've laughed at.
I think she was funny back in the day. I mean, you know, she had that kind of self-deprecating thing going. I mean, that's what they all started with. Phyllis Diller, all these pioneers of comedy, female comedy, they don't even hold a candle to, like, the top 50 males, as far as I'm concerned.
You mentioned Carlin, who, you know, he's one of, I think both of us, he's one of our favorites. I have the, I have the Save the Planet bit I uploaded for tonight, and then we'll take phone calls.
Oh, good.
We'll play that real quick, and then we'll take calls. It's like 2 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
All right. And we'll get to your phone calls on the other side of this. Hang in there, guys.
You got people like this around you. Country's full of them now. People walking around all day long, every minute of the day, worried about everything. Worried about the air, worried about the water, worried about the soil. Worried about insecticides, pesticides, food additives, carcinogens. Worried about radon gas. Worried about asbestos. Worried about saving endangered species. Let me tell you about endangered species, all right? Saving endangered species is just one more arrogant attempt by humans to control nature. It's arrogant meddling. It's what got us in trouble in the first place. Doesn't anybody understand that? Interfering with nature. Over 90% of all the species that have ever lived on this planet, ever lived, are gone. Whee! They're extinct. We didn't kill them all. They just disappeared. That's what nature does. They disappear these days at the rate of 25 a day. And I mean regardless of our behavior. Irrespective of how we act on this planet, 25 species that were here today will be gone tomorrow. Let them go gracefully. Leave nature alone. Haven't we done enough? We're so self-important, so self-important. Everybody's going to save something now. Save the trees, save the bees, save the whales, save those snails. And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet. What? Are these fucking people kidding me? Save the planet? We don't even know how to take care of ourselves yet. We haven't learned how to care for one another. We're going to save the fucking planet? I'm getting tired of that shit. Tired of that shit. Tired. I'm tired of fucking Earth Day. I'm tired of these self-righteous environmentalists, these white bourgeois liberals who think the only thing wrong with this country is there aren't enough bicycle paths. People trying to make the world safe for their Volvos. Besides, environmentalists don't give a shit about the planet. They don't care about the planet. Not in the abstract, they don't. Not in the abstract, they don't. You know what they're interested in? A clean place to live. Their own habitat. They're worried that someday in the future they might be personally inconvenienced. Narrow, unenlightened self-interest doesn't impress me. Besides, there is nothing wrong with the planet. Nothing wrong with the planet. The planet is fine. The people are fucked. Different. Different. The planet is fine. Compared to the people, the planet is doing great. It's been here 4.5 billion years. Did you ever think about the arithmetic? Planet has been here 4.5 billion years. We've been here, what, 100,000? Maybe 200,000? And we've only been engaged in heavy industry for a little over 200 years. 200 years versus 4.5 billion. And we have the conceit to think that somehow we're a threat? That somehow we're going to put in jeopardy this beautiful little blue-green ball that's just a-floating around the sun? The planet has been through a lot worse than us. Been through all kinds of things worse than us. Been through earthquakes, volcanoes, plate tectonics, continental drift, solar flares, sunspots, magnetic storms, the magnetic reversal of the poles. Hundreds of thousands of years of bombardment by comets and asteroids and meteors, worldwide floods, tidal waves, worldwide fires, erosion, cosmic rays, recurring ice ages, and we think some plastic bags and some aluminum cans are going to make a difference? The planet isn't going anywhere. We are. We're going away. Pack your shit, folks.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's you know, rough, you know. Again, once he just, I'm telling you, he could any subject is always some insight, but but there's also comedy as well.
Right.
What a loss. And there's a guy, too, Jimmy. He had his struggles, you know, with drugs and even alcohol towards the end. I may have mentioned this on one of my shows or on your show. I don't remember. I got a chance to see George right before the end at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And it wasn't his normal show. It was like he did like an, I'd say 45 minutes on how to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like the darkest, like you had to be really in a dark place to laugh. And most of the crowd was kind of like, well, where's the
goofy shit?
Yeah. The goofy, you know, or goofy shit or, you know, too much stuff, you know, that, you know, all
right,
that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, What's the one he's got? You're All Diseased? That's my favorite, actually.
Yeah, and then I think the last one was It's All Bullshit and It's Bad for You. I think that was his last HBO special.
That wasn't bad either. That was a pretty good one, that last one.
But
too, but
he lost his wife, Brenda. And if you watch all, I know you have, but the guys out there, if you watch his
HBO special.
Didn't
he get remarried,
special,
though?
Yeah, he did. But if you watch his old shows, like Carlin at Carnegie, Carlin on Campus, What Am I Doing in New Jersey, she was always listed, Brenda Carlin, she's always listed as an executive producer or something like that. He lost his wife, I think it was in the late 90s, she passed away. And after that, and he did get remarried about a year or two later to a woman named Sally. But after he lost his wife, his comedy took a real dark turn. And I remember there was one of his HBO specials that he did where he starts talking about God, and he starts talking about how there is no God, and he starts talking about how he worships Joe Pesci because Joe Pesci doesn't let him down. And he's standing there, and he says, I don't believe in God. There is no God. And he says, fuck God, right? And even me, not a religious person, I was actually kind of sitting there watching, kind of shift, you know, you do that shift in your chair, like, ee. You know, and I was, right. You know, whether you believe or you don't believe, I don't know. You just don't tempt fate like that and say something. You know, I was like, where's the, exactly like we were just saying, where's the, you know, I need more stuff, and you know, baseball and football, I'm going home, you know, that whole bit. So his right. comedy took a real dark turn the last 10 years or so of his life. Hey, look, there was good reason, but you're right. You know, the last couple, I saw him twice live. I saw him in Red Bank, New Jersey, which was a rehearsal show for Jammin' in New York, which was a live show he did from, I think, might have been the Paramount Theater at Madison Square Garden or whatever it was called then. It was a rehearsal show for that. And then I saw him at the Westbury Music Fair. I took my mother. It was my mother absolutely loved him. And my brother and I took her there for – that was our Mother's Day present to her. We took her to see Carlin at the Westbury Music Fair. And he had two shows. He had like a 7 o'clock or an 8 o'clock show, and then he had like a 10:30 show. And my mother said, well, I want to see the 10:30 show because it'll be later and it'll be more raunchy. So we took him to the 10:30 show, and he was at least half in the bag. It was what the guy – what somebody was telling us at that show was he used to keep – and it was true. He told us this before the show started, and it was true after the show started. He kept a stool on stage with two glasses that both had clear liquid in them, but one was water and one was vodka.
Wow.
And as the show would go on, as the second show was going on, he was obviously hitting the vodka glass a lot more than the water glass. I mean, he was as filthy and as funny, I mean, as I've ever heard of. I mean, he was talking about, without getting into specifics, female hygiene and the lack thereof with some women. I mean, and my mother loved every minute of it. She was hysterical. So, I mean, so that was one of the better Mother's Day presents we ever gave her. But yeah, you're absolutely right about him. As far as it kind of took a downward turn in the later years of his life, and it was a big loss in the comedy world when we lost George.
Well, yeah, and I also have a thing about, if you're a comedian, don't mock God, because as soon as you start doing that, I feel like Sam Kinison used to do it towards the end. I mean, he did it for a while, though. And then he met an untimely end. That guy, Bill Hicks, who wound up, I think, getting pancreatic cancer, he would do an hour on how, you know, there is no God, or God's fucking us over. He's just laughing. And anytime you seem to go that route, when you really go dark, I don't know. It's just, I guess, superstitious. I'm even superstitious just talking about it. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Are you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's see what everybody thinks their version of hell is.
All right. We haven't talked to Newman in a couple of weeks. Newman, how are you, buddy? Thank you for holding.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Father Ed, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, to answer your question, my personal hell would probably be somewhere between in a room with Sterling and Chico Resch.
John Sterling?
Yes, John Sterling.
Sterling, yeah. And Chico, yeah, that would be bad.
That's a bad room.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
Who do you dislike more, Sterling or Resch? Who do you dislike more?
Sterling or Chico? Probably Sterling. I hear him all the time on the Yankee radio. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
hear him. I'm sorry, Jim. You can actually hear him. Let's say somebody out of the blue, it's a home run. You can actually hear him shuffling papers as it's going on, trying to figure out what the hell he's going to say about him. It's so bad.
Yeah,
he's
I'll agree with John. I, if if I had to make a Sophie's choice, I would choose Chico Rush over Sterling. Sterling is absolutely the – I don't know how this guy has survived as a Yankee announcer. I guess just because he's such a shill. But he is just unlistenable.
He's terrible.
Yeah. He's just a novelty act, I guess.
But the fans eat it up. That's the problem. That's why he stays.
See, I don't even know a whole lot of Yankee fans that like him, honestly.
I'm sure you'll find at least five or six, just like the Islander fans. You'll find a five or six few of them.
And he's always so consumed with his catchphrases that he doesn't pay attention to the game. I mean, half the time he'll start doing his home run call. It's a fly ball. It's a fly out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Or better yet, he'll start having a conversation with Susie Waldman about the stupidest stuff, and he'll go on for half an inning. He'll miss the whole play.
Susie Q.
Yeah, Susie Q. Oh, Susie.
Oh, my God, it's Roger Clemens. Oh, my God.
I take it back. Between the three of them, I'd rather be with Chico, but out of the three, Susie's taking the cake. Susie, what the hell's she doing?
At least Chico, you can pull his toupee off at some point.
That's correct.
Make him chase you around the room.
At least Chico will give you a good argument.
Yeah, I think John's hell would be sitting in the broadcast booth for an eternal baseball game with Susan Waldman and John Sterling.
And
although
Eddie,
most baseball games are eternal. What
Eddie,
go ahead.
My luck could either be a doubleheader or an 18-inning game.
Oh, man. Yeah, well. Nobody asked me what my personal hell would be.
What's yours, Eddie?
Raking. If I had to rake leaves for eternity.
Every day.
Every day. I hate raking leaves.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know.
See, so the opposite end of that is your personal heaven would be to have a leaf blower. Is that what you're saying?
To have trees that the leaves don't fall off the tree.
Oh, okay.
I guess. I should just have all my trees removed on my property. That's what I should do.
There you go. Bulldozer.
This is an Ed's household tips, though, so I'm moving on.
This old yard with Eddie Geik.
Oh, God.
Well, how you feeling? You feeling better? You all recovered? I see you losing weight. Good for you.
Thank you. Yes, I'm feeling a lot better. Thank you very much.
Good.
Good for you.
What are you doing to lose weight?
Huh?
What are you doing to lose weight?
I joined Jenny Craig.
Did you? Seriously?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
Good for you.
As did Stacey.
She doesn't need to lose weight.
I know, but she doesn't. But she joined with her for moral support.
You see what I did there? You see what I did there? I inadvertently called him a sack of shit. I said Stacey doesn't need to lose weight.
No, she really doesn't. She's beautiful the way she is.
See, by saying that, you know, I insinuated that, you know, you do.
Thank you. I really do, though.
Just giving you a hard time. So with Jenny Craig now, you got to buy all the meals, right?
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. $150 a week.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
What?
That's a
personal trainer.
I'm actually doing it on my own. I'm walking 5 miles a day, though.
That's really good.
Yes, and by the way, I still haven't gotten a hospital bill from Valley Hospital, so F you, Valley Hospital.
What do you walk to the Enneman's thrift shop and back?
I walk 5 miles a day. I'm not kidding.
I believe you. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know you are. Hey, you know what? I'm going to die tomorrow anyway, so it's all good. Might as well have one last
leg. You might as well go to IHOP.
Yeah, IHOP, yeah. There's one opening up in Palisades Mall, by the way, with liquor.
So, all right. Anything else?
I'm over the Popeye, so I'll warn all the African-Americans in my area, all right?
What?
What?
What was that?
There's a Popeyes and an IHOP opening up in Palisades Mall.
Oh, okay.
So I'll alert all the African Americans so they can stop by after church.
Oh, Jesus. You're telling me, what, white people can't go to Popeyes Chicken?
Well, Jim, have you ever been in there?
I have not been in a Popeye's Chicken in a long time. I actually have one about two blocks from my house. But my wife my wife doesn't like it, so we don't go there. She doesn't like churches.
There's probably a reason. There's probably a reason for that, Jim. We're all going to hell anyway, so I might as well say it.
Well, you know, this does bring up something that, that happened to me.
Uh-oh. Are you able to say any?
No. On Long Island, right? I was in Queens, and I was talking to my cousins, and I'm like, yeah, I said, you know, sometimes, you know, I take my wife, if, you know, I'm not a big seafood guy. Sometimes I go to Red Lobster, and they're like, Red Lobster? Only black people go to Red Lobster. I go, what? I go, there isn't a black person in my Red Lobster. But apparently, in the city, a lot of black people frequent Red Lobster. And out here, it's considered like, you know, not a big meal, but like a little bit better than McDonald's. So do you guys have that experience up there in New Jersey about Red Lobster as well?
There's not really a Red Lobster, and I haven't seen one.
Really?
I think the closest one to me is in White Plains. I think so.
I love Red Lobster.
I like those.
And in case you haven't noticed from my pictures, I'm not black.
Yeah.
Don't you, Jim?
And every girl that's ever dated me would tell you the same thing. I'm definitely not black.
John New would love that one.
Yeah, I'm coming over big here.
He tickled his funny bone.
But you know, hey, look, I tell them all the same thing. I'm the best 3 inches in 3 minutes they'll ever have.
Only 3 minutes or those 3 seconds. Do like the NBA, hey. Got a 3 second rule, Jim.
Hey, I can last longer than that, pal.
That's not what I heard.
Well, who'd you hear it from? Stacy?
I can't tell you. I heard it from the wife herself.
I almost didn't go there.
I heard it from Jen.
Now let me ask you, what are you doing? What about the drinking? Because we know
what
you
about
like
the drinking.
We know you like to drink. Your father came on the show and told us how much you like to drink.
I had a drink tonight.
How does Jenny Craig fit in with the drinking? What do you do? Like skip a meal?
Yeah.
You don't put it into the system. What are you kidding me? You don't lock in your beers.
Are you eating bourbon chicken and things like that?
Teriyaki salmon.
Go to Fridays and order the Jack Daniel's ribs or something to get your fix?
Yeah, I get my jollies on there.
Little extra mouthwash in the morning?
Terrible.
All right, my friend. Well, good luck with the Jenny Craig. Thank you for calling. And if we don't see you,
yeah.
Take care.
By the way, before I go, I'm going to give you my prediction for tomorrow.
All right.
For the Preakness, bet on the long shot. There's going to be a long shot coming in second tomorrow.
A long shot coming in second. Well, give us a name. Give us the horse name.
I don't know the horse's name. I don't know the horse's name. Huh?
Are you afraid the odds are going to go down if you mention him on this show?
I can't say his name. All I'm going to say is the 8 horse is going to come in second.
Yes.
The 8 horse.
Okay. All right. That's why you're doing it.
Take this man to the cooler.
All right, Newman. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
The crazy one. I love it. You pulled Hogan's Heroes clips.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, I was busy.
I love that show. I love that show.
Quink was great. Quink was, made the show for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean.
So the rapture is coming. Be pure. I used to know the words to Rapture by Blondie, the whole rap when it came out. I thought it was so novel, the rapping. I didn't realize that in 2011, maybe my personal hell would be having to listen to rap. I really thought that was a fad. How many of you thought that rap was going to be a fad? I really thought it was. Oh, God. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought it would, too. I was actually trying to find you the words to the rap. I was going to let you read it.
Oh, Magoo, you got it again.
Oh, man. I was expecting Robbie to call in because he promised he would, but he hasn't yet. But we got another call online. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692 is the number. We'll go to 631-242. The number looks familiar, but I don't remember who this is.
Hey, it's Fritz from last week. How's it going, guys?
Hey, how are you?
I am good.
And I almost said you're on Blue Shirt Band Radio, but you're not. You're on No Name Radio.
No Name Radio.
By the way, this Eddie Costa suggested we call this show FU Radio.
Kind of works.
That was one suggestion that I saw
in the
chat.
Does the FCC allow that?
We're not regulated by the FCC.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not regular as it is. I haven't gone in 2 days. 3 days.
And you also don't seem crazy about FU Radio.
It's just like, I know Coast is trying to be in your face and edgy, but it doesn't roll off the tongue.
It's not as good as the Ring Ding Social Club.
I like the Ring Ding, but I know that Hostess or Drake's, who makes Ring Dings?
Hostess.
Drake's, right? Hostess.
No.
Hostess will be all over for copyright infringement.
Oh, no, Drake, you're right. You were right. Drake's is Ring Ding? Drake's is Ring Ding.
Man, the fact that me and you were confused on that, we had too many beers here.
Honestly, do you really look at the brands when you're eating them, or do you just eat them?
No.
Just eat them.
I just eat packs. Rip and eat.
Grip them and rip them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's going on tonight? Still there? Did we lose you? Chris? It's Chris.
Oh, man.
Chris, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say for the record, I enjoy me some Red Lobster and IHOP myself.
See, I love Red Lobster.
Yeah, I like those cheese biscuits, hey, guys.
Oh, my God. I have literally told – I use the Rodney Dangerfield line on – bring me a basket of those biscuits every 7 minutes until I pass out.
Yep. Yeah, I love – that's my favorite part of Red Lobster. I'm not a big seafood guy. I don't know. It's,
I am. Yeah. I can honestly say I have never eaten lobster, but I do like fish, and I like shrimp and scallops, and I'll – just about anything else that I've tried, I like. I've had shark. Well, they don't have it at Red Lobster, but just about any seafood I've ever had, I've liked. I've never tried lobster. Can't afford it. I don't know anybody who can. So I've never had the opportunity.
You can get the tail, right? Lobster tail. You ever had that?
No, I've never even had that. But and I do like IHOP. Although I prefer Denny's, but IHOP is fine too.
We need a few more of those here on Long Island. Jersey has them all over the place, right?
Well, where are you in Long Island?
In Bayshore, Suffolk County.
Yeah, well, in Lake Ronkonkoma, just up the road from me, they made one.
Did they?
I know Bayshore is still a hike, but, it's, yeah, and it's packed every day.
And they opened one in Levittown, too, and I heard it's a dive, and nobody likes to go back there. It used to be a ground round that they turned into a Denny's. And nobody knows.
Ground round. Did they go out of business? Are they still around?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That used to. They were like the TGI Fridays of their day.
Yep.
Ground round.
Well,
I remember.
That and Big Barry's. Remember Big Barry's?
Oh yeah, Big Barry's. They used to have 10 cent wings there.
Wow.
Oh my God. I spent many a Tuesday night there getting drunk on shotgun blasts and eating those chicken wigs. Big Barry was what do we call him? A little person. He used to wear this big hat.
Yep.
And rumor has it he was gay. I don't know. Because really, at that size and the way he looked, he probably had a hard time finding women. So,
not
I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't know where I'm going with this. But he mentioned Big Barry's. I remember when I was in high school, doing high school radio, and I got in trouble because there was a robbery at Big Barry's and somebody got shot.
Really?
Uh-oh.
And they used to have where you could shoot this wheel and kind of get like 10% off your meal if you hit it. And like, the shootout started early today at Big Barry's at 2:00. News director comes in and is like, "What are you doing, Geike?" You know, because they all took it super serious and I was just in there to goof. As a matter of fact, when I used to call basketball games, you know, I'm calling like girls JV basketball. I used to, boys JV basketball. I wouldn't even memorize the rosters. I would just call my friends as the players. I would be like, "Hey, Victor D and High C, what a shot." And people would call and go, "You know, my daughter's on this team. I haven't heard, or my son's on this team, but I haven't heard his name all game." I refused. And I said, "Listen, I always told the guys I was broadcasting with, now listen, if you got a call for a sneeze or curse or whatever you think's going to happen, hit this chicken switch on here, and that mutes you out. They won't be able to hear you." Knowing full well that the mute did not work, you know. And I'd be like, "And the guy makes a shot at it, it's good." And the guy would go, "Ah, yeah!" And I would laugh and laugh and laugh. This is what made me happy in the high school years. Why I'm on this subject, I'll never know. But you never Yeah, we
so
have
Chris,
so
what I, would be Chris, oh, what would ahead. Be your personal hell?
My personal hell every May is trying to get my in-ground swimming pool opened before the Memorial Day weekend. I dread it every year.
Okay, so your personal hell would be that it's always May and your in-ground pool is always covered?
Oh, it's covered. The bitch is taking it off and cleaning it and getting all the chemicals ready and the whole nine. It's a huge pain in the ass. I hate it. And Joe Micheletti, so.
And Joe Micheletti.
So your personal hell would be the pool thing, and Joe Micheletti is your pool boy.
Yeah, pretty much. Joe Micheletti needs to quit broadcasting and do like...
This game has got some pace. This game has got some pace.
Micheletti needs to do like the hair color dye commercials.
Giuseppe Franco?
Between him and CJ Papa, I don't know who dyes their hair the most. I'm a diehard Rangers fan, but I probably went to more Islander games this year just because it's down the block for me to go to. It's more convenient. And every time I see that guy running up and down the row, his hair is like a different shade of brown or black every time I see the guy.
And it's free to go to Islander games, right?
Pretty much.
There you go.
Hair is not hockey announcer's strong point. You got Emmerich.
Chico.
Chico. Rosen. You got Billy Jaffe. I don't know what's going on with his hair from the top view. And you got,
oh, you even got this versus guy. What the hell's the name? Engblom? I don't know what the hell he's got going
right.
on.
Yeah, Brian Engblom. And then you got John Amaranti. I don't know what's going on with his hair.
No, boy. Nobody does.
Black and... It's just too much, and it's too black to be real. I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, you know what's funny is that, remember I was telling you a couple weeks ago, my brother sent me a file to download of the Stanley Cup highlight video from 1994.
Uh-huh.
Well, Amarante's in that, you know, singing before Game 7. And with a totally different toupee, it's a totally different color. You know, he looked younger. The hair looked younger. You know, everything was younger. It was funny to see that. I just started laughing when I saw that. Marv Albert, yeah. They mentioned him in the chat room. There's another guy with a bad toupee.
Yeah.
So, all right, Chris. Well, thanks for calling in, and hopefully you'll survive Judgment Day tomorrow. We'll see you next week on Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
All right, begin.
Invite me over to the pool there.
Yeah, there you go. You got to have Eddie over.
Maybe I'll have all you guys come over and help me get the thing open. Then I'll have it open by the weekend.
I don't know about that. But...
I know we could all drown Nicoletti in the pool.
Take care, Chris.
Later.
Bye. That was great.
No way I'm doing any physical labor for anybody else. I'm at that point now.
He was raking all day. Did you people hear him?
Yeah.
Not coming over to open anybody's pool.
I was on the treadmill today. Maybe John Newman's my inspiration now.
How's that going?
Well, I had an 11:30 appointment with the physical, what's this guy, the trainer there?
Right.
My personal trainer, my PT, PT 109. He didn't show up. Maybe he didn't want. Maybe he's afraid of the task. You know.
I'm sorry, I was there late. PT 109.
Mr. Gart, you're quite heavy. I don't want to work with you. So anyway,
I have been in this business 20 years. I quit.
Oh, God.
So anyway, so you went at 11:30 and the guy didn't show up?
Yeah. He didn't show up. So I went up into the treadmill, which is a fancy dancy treadmill. It's got the TV and a thing for your iPod and the whole shebang. And I don't have an iPod.
Right.
So I figure since I'm going to be doing this regularly, let me go out and buy an iPod.
Wow.
I'm into it.
Wow.
So I'm like,
look at you.
Yeah, Mr. But, like, I don't know how much an iPod goes in, and there's a Best Buy right near it. I go in, and, the iPod, I think, was $124. It's an 8 gig, the Nano. I'm like, 8 gig? I mean, really, how much music? I mean, I'm a music buff. But 8 gig's a lot of music.
I have a 30 gig Zune, and it's almost full.
What are you putting in there? Full albums, live shows?
Yeah, oh yeah. I have. I have 2,300 songs on my Zune. I have about four. No, I probably have about six movies.
What's a
Zune?
Zune's have to explain this to me.
Microsoft. It was Microsoft's attempt to capture their own piece of the MP3 player market. From most people, it was an overwhelming failure. But I have one and I love it. Honestly,
okay.
We pay $14.99 a month, right? Monthly service charge. My wife and I both have one. We can download as much music as we want to the Zune, and that's it. It stays on the Zune. You just have to update it once a month. I love it. I don't have to pay per song. I don't have to pay for albums. I just pay $14.99 a month. I download everything I want. What I can't find on Zune, let's just say I find other ways.
But that's a lot of. How many gigs do you have? 18?
30. 30 gigs.
That's
a lot. Yeah.
You got to trim down.
Well, I mean, I have Bruce Springsteen's entire collection. I have Billy Joel's entire collection. I have Van Halen's entire collection. I have, everything. Who did I forget? Bruce, Jimmy Buffett, Billy Joel, Van Halen. I got everything by Genesis. I got everything by Phil Collins. I got it all. I abolished my CD collection. I was tired of it. I was tired of carrying CDs.
I worry about that because. Because people I know that have a lot of there's a lot of poor music on it. There's a lot of poor choices on there. That stuff you will never listen to.
No,
I worry about.
I've whittled mine down to just mostly stuff that I'll actually listen to. Like I said, I also keep quite a few movies on there. in case, you know, for when I fly or things like that. I have all our shows on there, all 100, all, I think we're up to 155 or 160 shows. I have all of those on there. When I'd sync it to my computer, it would upload all my pictures, you know, like pictures from our viewing parties, pictures from vacations. But I took all those out because I needed the space. I have like 3 gig free, which isn't much. But yeah, I love it. I love the Zune. I think it's great. Nope, I have no pornos on my Zune. My daughter watches Toy Story on my Zune. I got to keep the pornos off of there. Come on.
But I can't watch Toy Story on my iPod.
Well, the Zune, my Zune is a pretty good size. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like a portable DVD player, but I know iPods I don't know which one you bought, but
I got the Nano. How big it is?
The Nano's small, right? It's got like a 1-inch screen.
It's like a size of a. I don't know what it's the size of. It's like a wheat check. I mean, it's like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose the damn thing now. So, I don't know.
And my Zune's got, I would say, about maybe a 3-inch screen on it. So, if I'm on a plane or something, and you know what, I just kind of set it up in front of me, and that's fine. I can sit and watch movies on it, or listen to our shows, or I listen to it. Yeah, I bring it with me to work. I bring it in the car. I got rid of all my CDs. I was tired of lugging CDs in the car, and then they get scratched, and you know, just from moving them back and forth.
I don't download illegally.
I didn't say I didn't. Did I say that? I said I can't find on Zune, I find other ways to find.
I openly admit on this show, I do not pay for music whatsoever. I download because I'll tell you why. And it's not because I'm a cheap bastard. That's one of the reasons. Is that, you know, we paid $20 for CDs for so long, and they said, oh, the prices were going to come down. The prices are going to come down eventually. That's what they told us. And it never happened. So I feel like I'm entitled to anything I want, to break the law.
There you go. And, you know, what's funny is that when I first started downloading music, I was getting it off Pandora. Napster. You remember Napster? When Napster was free. Then they shut down Napster, and then I went to Morpheus. And then they shut down Morpheus. So then I went to Kazaa. Then they shut down Kazaa, and then it was BearShare. And then they shut down BearShare, and it was LimeWire. And then they shut down LimeWire. And you know what I found? 95, if I'm looking for a specific song, like for the show, or if I just want to listen to a song, 95% of the songs I want, I can find on YouTube, and then I got that program that'll just strip the audio from the video,
right.
And that's how I find the song. 95% of the songs I want to find, I can find them right on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true, you know. No, I refuse. I refuse, and I'll tell you the truth. I know we've swerved really off the subject here.
There is no subject.
That's true. Well, it's about the end of the world. Digger said that I'm going to spend the end of the world in jail. Yeah, Costa's got it right. I do BitTorrents now. I mean, I get as much as I can from the torrent sites. But I think I use BT Junkie. But anywho, where was I going with this? I've been turned on to some really good groups through it and have that I have gone to see live and have bought merchandise. And so I feel like, you know, it's gotten me to spend money on groups that I never would have spent on. Anyway, it just that's my stance on music, and I did buy the new Car CD because, you know, listen, I'm wacko.
I downloaded that on Zune too.
Oh,
it was up there.
I guess,
and let me just for you guys a couple of you were there. Eddie did a listening party on Tuesday night for the Cars. New CD, and for for those of you that don't know who the Cars are, go ask your parents. the Cars are back with a new CD. It's their first one in 20 years? 24 years. And it's called Move Like This. And it's and I told Eddie I was a – in the 80s, I was a casual Cars fan. I liked their hits. Never went and bought one of their CDs. Eddie did a listening party the other night. He played a couple of the songs. Eddie is a devout Cars fan. And he got a lot of the guys from this group he belongs to, a Cars sort of fan club type thing on Facebook, and a lot of them showed up to listen. And it was a good time. I hung out in the chat room and listened to the songs. It was fun, and he played some stuff by some solo stuff from some of the band members. You have never met more serious people about their band than these Cars fans. I'm telling you, Eddie's playing these songs on Tuesday night, and these guys in the chat room were dissecting these songs like you Ranger fans, like we'll dissect a power play. Like John Madden would take out his coach's clicker. I mean, these guys were talking about the arrangements, what synthesizers were being used, what drum pedals were being used.
Yeah, it was total
geek. And I'm just sitting there, like, trying to, like, just chat, you know, like we chat during the shows and just have a good time. These guys were paying me no mind. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and listen because nobody's talking to me. And I was, they didn't want to talk to me. I was just a complete amateur. And these guys are going, oh, I like the arrangement in this song. And he's using the doppelganger synthesizer. These guys were devout. God bless them. I love anybody that's passionate about what they, you know, about something they're into. Whether it be hockey, music, movies, whatever it is. So God bless them. But, man, these guys were serious. This guy got on the phone with Eddie, went on for about a half hour about this live show and that live show and who did this to who and who hates this one. And, I mean, it was great. It was great.
You know, everybody knows that one, like, super Beatle fan that knows everything about the Beatles.
I'm close to being that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can relate. To every track you know, who sang it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I can. Yeah, I mean, I think even anybody that's a little better than a casual Beatles fan can listen to a song and tell you whether it's John Paul or Ringo.
I was
going to
go on with a list of like, oh, for instance, like what's the song? The Way Things Are Go and They're Gonna Crucify Me. What's that song called? The Ballad of John and Yoko.
Ballad of John and Yoko. One of my favorite Beatles.
Well, can you tell me anything special about that song?
Can I tell you anything special about it?
Yeah. Does anybody in the chat room know? I know a fact about that song that.
No, honestly, I can't.
Well, Paul plays the drums on that song. And
I didn't
know.
I did know that Paul played drums on quite a few of their songs because there was some contract issues with Ringo and there were some other issues, songwriting and otherwise, that they had with Ringo. And he walked out of the studio on a couple of, at least once or twice, and Paul had to fill in on the drums. I didn't know that was one of them, though.
I think they just did it as a creative thing. I don't think it was but I'm just saying, I think it was, those guys are like that about the Cars, but if it never had the platform to talk about it. So it's been bottled up for years.
Right, right.
So when they got together, it was a total geek out, but fun nonetheless. All right, let's get back. So I don't want to talk about things I've done in the past. I want to talk about, now, isn't there an exact time tomorrow at 6 o'clock?
I think that was what I heard. That was what I heard. 6 o'clock or 3 o'clock, maybe.
All right.
Now, I got to – okay, well, what'd you
– oh, what did I want to talk about?
Yeah, where were you going? I'm sorry. I was going to
– oh, I don't know where I was going, actually. I forgot now.
Well, I did have a couple of – I did have a couple of news stories I was going to share with you. I thought you'd get a kick out of a few of these.
Yeah, I like getting my reaction.
We'll call this until we have a name. We'll call this the No Name Show, Nincompoops in the News. But no good news show is complete without a news theme. So we just went and stole one.
The News Watch never stops. This is WINN. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
These always crack me up because there is an endless, almost, I would say it's almost a weekly occurrence that you'll see this story, and I swear to God, I don't know what possesses, what goes through people's heads. A Southwest Florida man has been charged with shining a laser light at a sheriff's office helicopter. The Lee County Sheriff's Office reports the 29-year-old Michael Wayne Smith, and they always have the middle name Wayne. Nothing good ever comes from a guy whose middle name is Wayne, was arrested and charged Tuesday. Deputies were flying at 600 feet above Fort Myers when they noticed a green laser hit the cockpit. One deputy reported that the light hit him in the eye and temporarily impaired his vision. They ought to throw this guy in jail for 50 years. I mean, have we learned nothing over the past 10 years? I mean, how stupid do you have to be to point a laser light at a helicopter or an airplane? And you hear about these stories all the time, Eddie.
Yeah, guys are dope. I had my own incident with the laser light. No, not with a laser light, but, you know, I go on these trips with my friends, right? And we were down in Fort Hood. And, you know, we travel in a van. And, you know, you can't enter, you know, these forts, I guess, these military bases, unless you have a visitor's pass and you have to go and you have to be a lot of times. I don't know how it was, how it is now. But so my friend gets it in his head that we're just going to go on the base. And when I tell you, you know, like he was unaware that this was going to happen. It wasn't like a stupid thing. But we went past the guard post. And now a van is especially under real scrutiny. Because they think you got a bomb in there. Well, we got about 5 feet past the guard post. Like six guys came out pointing their Glocks at us and telling my friend John to put his hands up in the air. And I'm like, he was just trying to make a U-turn. But it was like a total scene. Like, John, don't you understand? They're going to think we're a bunch of terrorists. There's this one guy, Jerry, that we, you know, he's a little bit goofy and not everybody likes him. I said, Jerry, why don't you go out there and yell jihad, see what happens?
Hala, hala, jihad, jihad.
I told him to do that in the Hoover Dam, too, when we passed the security check.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, that guy's a joke. You don't press a. Who's got those laser pointers anyway anymore? Wasn't that like big in the 90s to the early 2000s, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're dope. Throw away the key.
I think they were popular right up until about, September 10th, 2001. I think after that, they kind of stopped being funny and, you know, interesting, you know? That whole thing. All right. Let's see, we got another news story for you.
The News Watch never stops. This is WINN.
I love it. Okay, I just like that.
Give us 22 minutes.
All right. So a 21-year-old guy in Albany decided he was going to kill himself by jumping off a bridge into the Hudson River. Only one problem. He hit the Hudson River and he didn't die. Police had to pull him out of the river 250 feet downstream. And he was able to grab onto a branch, and police arrived and pulled him from a 50-degree water. Nice going. You even failed at that.
Wow. Now, why didn't he – couldn't he just, when he fell in, just refuse to swim up? Or did the current take him? I don't know.
I think the current took him. I don't know. That's the whole story. Tried to kill himself, and the only problem was he didn't. However, we would like to congratulate the Asian man in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates – who was the first man to kill himself by jumping off the Burj Khalifa Tower, which is the world's largest structure, on what day was this? This was sometime last week. He became the first man to jump off the 2,717-foot-tall tower and landed on a deck on the 108th floor. So we salute you, because on this show, if you want to kill yourself, we support you.
You know, so this is a large strut. This is bigger than the Sears Tower, the whole bit.
Sir. It's the world's largest. It's 147 floors. He jumped from the 147th floor trying to make it to the ground. Unfortunately, he only made it 38 floors and landed, or 139 floors, and he made it to the 108th.
Oh.
But he died. So he's a lot better than the guy in Albany, as far as I'm concerned. He's successful.
Hey.
And for that.
He didn't want to wait for the rapture. He's, you know, he got there early.
Get me out of here. Here's another great news story. Back to
the news watch never stops. This
We had a
I like you give us 22
minutes. Now, here's a substitute teacher for you. 60-year-old Coleman Eaton in Georgia was substituting a fourth-grade class and had to go to the bathroom. So what did he do? He told the classroom to face the front. He headed towards a garbage can in the back of the class and proceeded to relieve himself in the garbage can while the class looked front. Unfortunately, a few of them turned around to see what he was doing and ratted him out to the principal, and he was arrested by the Riverdale Police Department, who confiscated the trash can with the evidence.
Why was he arrested?
Of urine. Because he was charged with two counts of child molestation as far as exposing himself. He exposed himself to a bunch of kids.
He went to the corner. That's exposing yourself. What is this world?
He was in a classroom full of kids. Two kids turned around, saw him pissing in a trash can.
So what?
So Coleman, next time call the security guard, have him watch the class, and excuse yourself from the room.
Well, yeah, it's not common sense, but... but, you know, I mean, he's a goof for doing that, but to arrest people. This is what they're arresting people for? How about those corporate criminals in the banking industry? Not one of them in handcuffs.
Things are pretty slow in Riverdale, Georgia these days, I guess.
Those cracker-ass crackers.
Now, how about this one? This is right up your alley. A woman was escorted off the Amtrak Acela train last weekend, after she allegedly refused to stop talking loudly on her cell phone. It didn't help her when she became belligerent when confronted about it by one of her fellow passengers. KOMO News reports that Lakeisha Beard said she felt disrespected by the incident, though passengers said it was Beard who was being rude by refusing to stop yapping while sitting in one of the train's designated quiet cars. She had not stopped talking since the train pulled out of Oakland, California, and talked for 16 hours straight. When a passenger confronted her about the talking, Beard got aggressive. Conductors stopped the train so police could remove her and charge her with disorderly conduct.
Again.
You know, you've rode the Long Island Railroad, and I've rode on trains and buses or whatever.
I can hear it in nine different languages, too.
Yeah, and there's always that one guy or girl talking really loud. And, can you hear me? Can you hear me? You know, and they just keep going.
It's like being tapped into all the, say I was working at the United Nations, when everybody's speaking at once and being interpreted at the same time. That's what you hear on the Long Island Railroad. 15 different languages, none of which I understand. this goes out to the human beings that now inhabit our planet. You don't care about other people, this woman being one. You don't care. You don't think of others. It's just all about you, your entitlements, your this and that. The fact that she gets belligerent, it's a quiet car, you dumbass. Do you understand what quiet means? Everybody just has the guy that it's just all about them. F the world.
Yep.
I mean, there's still a good few people left, but most of them are like this. What a bunch of jackoffs.
This is why people jump off bridges in Albany into the Hudson River.
Mario M. just said, at least you didn't pee in the train.
That's true.
Yeah,
that would have been a sight, because if you're looking at the article, it looks like she's about 300 pounds.
Ah, God, that's another thing. I mean, I'm a large mammal myself. But, you know, I got to tell you, another thing annoys me is these people. You ever go to a store, they're in these whale carts? They have those. So people you know can walk, but they're on those little carts, those things that drive there. What are they, scooters or whatever with the thing? Those whale carts, and they're honking, and they're getting in your way. Hey, I'm a fat bastard, but I'll tell you one thing. I walk. My knees hurt sometimes. I walk. Those fat bastards beeping, you go, bumping you from behind, making turns. Listen, this isn't the, you know, Indiana 500 or whatever, Indianapolis 500. It's right. They're lazy, and then they bitch and moan when, what do you mean they're not charged? I want my scooter to be charged. I want to speak to a manager. Anybody who utters the words, I want to speak to a manager, I want to punch in the face. What is a manager going to do nowadays? Wow, you go, instead of a 16-year-old pimply-faced kid, you get a 21-year-old kid.
Right, exactly.
Listen, I got a new rule. If you can't walk, don't go to the stores. That's it. Not gonna. What are we gonna be so lazy? It's gonna be like that movie, Mike Judge movie, Idiocracy. What was that called? The other movie, the movie we always with Eva and the other one, where the guys just sit. Everybody's fat and they don't get up out of that fucking scooter.
What's that? I don't know.
The cartoon movie with the kid, the robot there, and
Wally.
Wally.
Yeah. Wally. You're right.
Right, Wally. Right. Well, no, I didn't get the name right, but you know how it is, in that world. Yeah, that's how it is nowadays. Nobody wants to do shit anymore. Everybody is just consumed with themselves. And, you know, I hate people who think they're having a really good time when they're not having a good time, too. That's another thing. I see these
what?
Women out. That people think they're having a good time. They're not having a good time. In my world, I know people who are having a good time and who people are faking they're having a good time. And I think there's a lot of people faking they're having a good time. It's not... I don't know. I can't explain it. You know what it is? I do a lot of people.
7 in the morning.
Thanks for the update, Big Ben.
You're drunk again.
No, I'm just exhausted because I've been up all night drinking.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'll have to expound on that next show. But there's a lot of people.
You've got plenty of time if you want to expound.
Well, I don't. You know what it is? I'm searching for the right words, and I don't know if it's going to come out right. It's just like I'm trying to think of an example of this. When
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Exactly. I've got a problem with the language.
There's definitely a language barrier here.
Is that Paul Lind?
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't explain it. It's just anyway. So let's go on to the next subject because I'm missed. But the human race has got to. And I think, you know, I don't want to bag on everybody. Obviously, there's some great people out here. But I live on Long Island. I'm telling you, the most superficial, vapid, vacant, soulless people live out here. They have nothing to do other than anything superficial. They're a superficial bunch that only cares about how good their lawns look like. And it's just very disheartening. That's why you got to live in the city. Because the city, you got a diverse, or anywhere. Anywhere but here. I've traveled the country, folks. I mean, I've been to almost every state in the country. And I got to tell you, people all around this country are really nice, really caring. Nobody cares. at least where I people will cut you off. They'll pass you if you're doing 90. You know, I mean, that's another thing. How fast do I have to go on the expressway? Really? If I'm in the middle lane and doing 90, do you got to pass me? If I'm doing 70, do you got to be on my tail? How many times have we seen that, folks, when you're driving and somebody's just right on your bumper? That's a joke. There's always some asshole. This happened when they gave kids cars.
I usually slow down when they tailgate me.
I can't even play that game anymore. I don't even bust. Now I go into granny lane. I don't want to play the game anymore with you people. You people want to make the wacky races, you know. you want a Penelope pit stop in here? You all right, Penelope? There, Penelope and her Escalade. I got this 105-pound girl driving the biggest car in the world. It's a nightmare.
Catch
the
that
roads
bitch.
Are a nightmare. You know it. I know it. Everybody in this chat room knows it.
Bob Dole knows it.
Bob Dole knows it. Everything sucks. Thank God the world's ending tomorrow.
God. You guys in the chat room, chill out. The world is ending. Kumbaya.
Yeah. Kumbaya, you bitches. Dick Dastardly and all that.
Muttley?
Yeah, you see those medals? Who was the guy, Penelope? He was like the glamour guy, the studly guy there.
Oh, I don't remember.
The Anthill Mob, you remember them?
Yeah, oh, sure, yeah. The Anthill Mob, yeah. All yeah.
This show really is about nothing.
No, that's what makes it fun. We're just having a good time.
Yeah.
We reminisce. We look ahead. We play some stupid clips. We talk about nothing. Everybody has a good time.
What do you think this is, a zoo?
I wanted to play this last week, and obviously, for obvious reasons, we got sidetracked. But here's a little Honeymooners for you.
If I didn't think I could make her happy, I would never have told her that I love her. After all, love and happiness is all I have to offer her. I don't possess a mansion, a villa in France, a yacht, or a string.
Oh, I guess that clip didn't come out right. Damn it. You know, sometimes that's the problem with the switchboard, is that you upload clips to it and then you can't listen to them.
Right.
You know, until the show's on. You can't listen to anything on the switchboard. So I apologize for that. So here, here's another one.
What do you mean I'm not an expert?
That's a short one. Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to help you make an idiot out of yourself.
I don't need your help. I'll do it myself.
Exactly. That's a perfect one for me right now.
This one always makes me laugh from 40-year-old version. Not version.
Hey, Paula.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you something, I'm really excited about it. For the first time today, I woke up, I came to the store, and I feel confident to say to you that if you don't take this Michael McDonald DVD that you've been playing for 2 years straight off, I'm going to kill everyone in the store and put a bullet in my brain.
David, what do you suggest we play?
I don't care, anything. I would rather watch Beautician and the Beast. I would rather listen to Fran Drescher for 8 hours than have to listen to Michael McDonald. Nothing against him, but if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
Such a smart ass. Get back on the floor.
Oh, fuck you.
There's a great episode of Family Guy where I forget the scenario, but I think Peter has money, so he hires Michael McDonald to be his background music. So like everything Peter says, Michael McDonald sings in the background. So you know, it'd be like, everything Peter says, Michael McDonald sings in the background. And it's really funny. He's following Peter everywhere through the whole show. And then at the end of the show, Peter and Lois are laying in bed, and Peter's talking to Lois and whatever. And all of a sudden, Michael McDonald pops up, and he's repeating everything that Peter says.
You know, Michael McDonald
beat there one more time. I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
And he goes, "How about you?" At the end. I see, just the Michael McDonald thing. Like, I think he has a good voice, you know. Like, he's got a very soulful voice, but I can't stand any of his music. I don't know. It drives me nuts. I keep looking for a black guy behind the keyboards.
He's
very talented.
I like the song he did in Running Scared.
I don't remember that one.
Sweet Freedom. I like that song.
Is that on your iPod? I mean, you're
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it is. It might not be. But I like that
song. We'll download it.
But I think, yeah, okay. Maybe I will. Maybe
a bunch of garbage.
Thank you, Paulie. Thank you for joining us. Instigators, Tuesday
yeah.
night at 8:30, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check that out.
The Doobies. Yeah, I like some of their songs. I like that Long Train Running. Right?
Now, see, you're speaking of Doobie Brothers, and mentioning Michael McDonald to a hardcore Doobie Brothers fan is like mentioning Todd Rundgren to a Cars fan.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, all that. You know what? I was thinking about Doobie
Brothers. I actually found the song on YouTube, but you know what? I'm not going to subject anybody to it. It's a really bad 80s song. I just like,
oh, really?
I love that movie, so I like that song. I like the whole, you know, they're down in Florida enjoying sunshine and gorgeous women and the songs playing. And it's a whole theme, you know.
Well, Jim, I did not know this. Now, it's coming up in the chat room. Now, Michael McDonald joined the Doobies later.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of this.
I don't know anything.
Came after the China Grove, you know, when they had their I'm not a Doobie Brothers authority, mid 70s he joined the band after they had their first bunch of big hits like China Grove and, you know, a couple of the other ones. Then he joined the band and you know, a hardcore Doobie Brothers fan will tell you that he ruined them.
Ah, wow. So I didn't know that. So I have actually learned something. So this was pre-rerun bootlegging them on What's Happening.
Did they try and scalp Doobie Brothers tickets or something?
Well, they may have, but then he got caught bootlegging. They played at the school. And the tape recorder fell out of reruns pants or something.
I thought that they got arrested at a Doobie Brothers concert trying to scalp their tickets or something. Oh, here it is. Here you go. Listen, man, everything's on the internet. I already got it. Hold on, I'll read it. I got the description. Hold on.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
The Doobie Brothers episode of What's Happening is classic TV. To recap, Raj got an assignment from the much-heralded Jefferson High Gazette to do an article on the Doobie Brothers. The Doobs were performing in the area. The guys get a chance to meet the Doobies. The Doobies all look high. Turns out what they hate the most is bootleggers. Reruns had all of that covered. Earlier, Rerun met Al Dunbar and his partner, and Al gave Rerun some state-of-the-art equipment for the task. So, yeah, Rerun was bootlegging
Yeah, and it wasn't really state-of-the-art. It was like...
It was a tape recorder. Your standard...
Yeah, that's all it was.
70s
yeah.
tape recorder, yeah.
I used to love those things. Tape record myself. Well, basically, essentially what I'm doing now.
Right. Only now we do it digitalis.
If we go to the digitalis way.
Right.
So. What else?
Rest in peace, Fred Berry. And Shirley Hemphill.
We haven't mentioned Macho Man.
Yeah,
Savage.
We only touched on it briefly. And, you know, we talked about him last week on the show extensively. And today he died tragically. He's 58 years old. He had a heart attack. He was driving on the Florida Turnpike, maybe. And he had a heart attack behind the wheel and went across the median and onto the other side of the road and crashed into a tree and died. And they're not sure yet if he died from the heart attack or died from the crash, but he was wearing a seatbelt. His wife survived. His wife was in the car with him. She survived, but Macho Man unfortunately passed away. And yeah, like we were just talking about him last Friday night on the show because we opened with about 20 minutes on wrestling. And my wife called me to tell me. I didn't know. And she called me at work. She says, and I answer the phone at my desk, and she says, are you sitting down? And I don't like it when she says that because usually that means she spent money. And I said, yeah, I'm sitting down. And she goes, she says, she kind of hems and haws, and she says, Macho Man's dead. I'm like, what? She says, yeah, Randy Savage, he died. And I, of course, I don't believe her. So I go to the internet because you believe everything you read on the internet.
Sure. And, it's on Twitter. It's happening.
And you're right. And sure enough, I Google Randy Savage, and I see the tweets are up that he was dead. And I said, oh, man. She says, I know this one hurts. She says, does this one hurt as much as Leslie Nielsen? I said, it's pretty close. I said, it's pretty close.
Wow.
I told you last week, he was my favorite. He was my favorite. I always went for the wrestlers that were the guys that I enjoyed watching were the athletes. That's why I wasn't a Hogan fan. It was nothing. I didn't think there was anything athletic about him. It was the same two moves every match. Whereas, you know, Macho Man was flying off the steel cages and off the ropes, and you know he had the showmanship and everything and the whole pomp and circumstance and that whole bit. So he was one of my favorites. He was one of my favorites. The elbow from the top rope. Yep, Bill Maher mentioned it. So yeah. Rest in peace, Randy. It's a shame. 58 years old.
Yeah, and I'm also, you know, I don't know, you know, the heart attacks. A lot of it's, you know, obviously steroid. I mean, you don't know for sure, but some of these wrestlers, I mean, their mortality rates are ridiculous.
I think we actually started talking about it a little bit last week, but how many of those guys that we watched, I mean, just, you know, 25 years ago are dead? Big John Studd's dead, right?
Yep.
Andre's dead. Adrian Adonis is dead. Who was the other? It was, losing my train of thought now. Who are some of the other ones? I mean, there's a lot of them. Kurt Hennig. Kurt Hennig's dead. Who was the? This is going to sound really callous, but who's the one that fell from the roof? Was that Owen Hart?
Yep.
It was Owen Hart, right? He died. Kurt Hennig, he's dead. Jeez, I don't know. They'll die on the roads in Florida.
Yes.
God's waiting room. Bam, Bam. Oh, there you go. Bam Bam Bigelow, he's dead.
Gentleman is dead.
Which one of the British Bulldogs died? Chris Benoit, that's another one. Yeah, which one of the British Bulldogs
died? One of the Road Warriors dead, too?
Big Boss Man is dead? Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah, he died maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Somehow the Ultimate Warrior is still alive. Rick Rude, yep. Who was Davey Boy? Thank you, guys. Davey Boy. Yeah, Davey Boy's dead, one of the British Bulldogs. I mean, there's a lot of them. And Hawk? Was that one of the Road Warriors? That was one of the Road Warriors?
Yes. Yeah.
Who was Hawk and who was the other one?
Hawk and Animal.
Hawk. Now, who was Axe and Smash?
Who were those
guys? But Mickey Rourke lives. Randy the Ram. Axe and Smash. Somebody's got to remind me who Axe and Smash were.
Oh.
Hawk and Animal were the Road Warriors.
What about the Moondogs? Are they alive?
God, that's a long time ago.
The Moondogs.
Demolition. That's right, Demolition. Thank you, guys. We got a knowledgeable chat room when it comes to, well, just about everything.
Oh, yeah. We should do a wrestling show.
The name's Francis Sawyer. But everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Ooh.
Just made the list, buddy. And I don't like nobody touching my stuff. So just keep your meat hooks off. If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you. Also, I don't like nobody touching me. Now, any of you homos touch me, and I'll kill you.
Lighten up, Francis.
That's an underrated
movie. We just watched that movie when my son was here 2 weeks ago. He'd never seen it. So
really?
We were sitting here one night, and he said, you want to watch a movie or something? I said, I got a whole closet full of movies. I said, go through it, pick out what you want. He goes, oh, Stripes. He goes, I've never seen this. I go, well, got to watch it then. He loved it. Yeah, he was laughing through the whole thing. It always makes me laugh when Sergeant Hulka falls off the tower, and he's just laying there, and they're trying to talk to him, and he just keeps going, eh. Are you okay? Eh.
That movie still holds up today. I mean, it's just still funny. I mean, you know, and I always thought that, Harold Ramis, he was very underrated. Like, I'm surprised he didn't play in more movies, because he really was good. I mean, he was, of course, in Ghostbusters, but, you know, he doesn't have a lot of film credits that you would think. He was a brilliant writer for SCTV and wrote some, you know, I think probably had writing credits. And I think also directed a couple movies.
He directed Groundhog Day, didn't he? And he was in it.
That's right.
And didn't he write Stripes or co-write it?
He probably did.
I think he did.
So, well, that's it for me.
Yeah, I think we'll call it. I think we've done well.
Yeah, and Mario just brought about Harold Ramis on first season of SCTV. I remember they were in black and white at one point. And that was at the early days of SCTV. Hell yeah. What about Spaceballs? He was in Spaceballs?
I don't remember him in Spaceballs.
I know that was a Mel Brooks thing.
Yeah. I remember him in... Honestly, the last thing I... The most... And it's not even that current now. The last thing I remember actually seeing him on screen in was Groundhog Day.
Dark Helmet
with Rick Moranis.
Yeah. He played Jack Black's father in something recently. Like, I'm trying to think what movie. I'll figure it out. So, anyway, folks, Jim, I thank you for letting me be on this broadcast. This is therapy for me, and I
didn't let you do anything. I wouldn't do it without you.
And I love the guys coming here and just shooting the shit with us and talking about just anything and everything. It's always fun, and you guys always bring your A game.
Yes, we thank you guys for listening, and if the world continues, we'll be back with Blue Shirt Banner Radio sometime next week, and then maybe we'll be back next Friday night to do this again. Who knows? But for everybody, take care. Have a great weekend. Enjoy. Don't panic. We'll be fine. It's all bullshit, folks, and it's bad for you, as George Carlin once said. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks.
Good night.